The next item is a discussion of a possible ordinance for your consideration regarding the county's suburban community road improvements program. And I will hand out a copy of a letter and a draft ordinance. This proposal would simplify and establish a more accurate guide for the county's process to provide road improvements in existing developments, and then we bill for them at a later date. We currently provide this service upon request as per the State Code Title IX, Chapter 5. The state code language is antiquated, and it, in some aspects, is difficult and even impossible for us to follow. The proposed ordinance would follow the current practice of the engineering department with several exceptions. The ordinance would bring the rules up to date. We would continue to require a petition from residents. We would continue to hold a referendum with cost estimates, and the roads would be constructed according to county road standards, as is the current practice. The changes from the current practice would be, first on billing, we are suggesting would be based on front footage as it is now, but with a minimum of 40 feet and a maximum of 100 feet. Right now, there is no maximum on the front footage that we bill the residents for. And this is, again, it's just for road improvements. So this change would match it up more in how we bill for sewer and waterfront footage. And voting, there was also a suggested change that we would allow anyone to vote who owns property within the development, and not just anyone who lives there, which is the current practice. And Patty Deptola is here from the County Engineering Department. I don't know if she'd like to make a few comments. Ms. Deptola actually manages these programs for the county, and she has four or five, I think, requests at this time for consideration.
We actually we have seven active projects that we are billing as of this date that were built over the last, like, 20 years. There's six that are actually on a waiting list that are definitely interested in the program. If they meet the petition and election requirements, because that's part of the program. Then I have, like, 17 subdivisions listed that have actually expressed interest in receiving information if we go this route. I'm definitely in favor of this ordinance because it would streamline the process, and many of these subdivisions are in need of road improvements. Most of them are rather old. Some of them never even came through the Chapter 99 private road subdivision program they were prior to, and they have no means. They have no homeowners association guidelines. They have homeowners associations, but they don't have guidelines to collect monies, or they have trouble getting monies collected. So they really have no other help to get roads, is what I've seen over the years. Basically, it's a means, you know, for them to secure funding to be able to do this.
How many have we done?
I have, myself have worked with seven over the years, and I know there were a couple prior to me. There's probably been maybe 10 total. And we have the possibility of many, many more. I get a call probably at least once every 2 weeks from someone interested.
Mr. Cole?
Yeah, no, I've recommended it to a number of people when they call and have complaints about their community and different things, and I've only thought it was a real good program to have, the county has. But my question, though, is about voting.
Mm-hmm.
I've been involved in some of those communities, and they can get arguing amongst each other over voting.
That's an understatement.
And in the way this is written, where you've got each listed owner, so if you have one lot and three listed owners, they could all three vote?
The way it's written, yeah. Each parcel would be allowed to have each listed owner do a petition and do a vote in the election. That's how this is actually written.
Why couldn't we make it real simple, like one lot, one vote?
We could. I mean, that's what I do for street lighting.
Yeah,
it's improved lots.
Yeah, this seems to me, because then it says, then a little later in the next sentence, it says, county engineer shall establish guidelines to address voting by corporation, heirs, trust, et cetera, and other unusual property ownership. We could eliminate all that if we just had one lot, one vote. I think, in this type of situation where we're talking about improving their community, it just wouldn't be equitable. One guy sitting here on one lot and somebody can gang up and put all these listed people. But anyway, is it possible that we can change that, Vince?
We can.
When can we change it?
If
there's a consensus to change it.
If there's a consensus to change it, my recommendation would be to change it prior to introduction and then just have the ordinance introduced with that change, because that's a voting
process. We're just discussing it right now, so we haven't introduced it, right?
Right.
So now's the time to do that. Is there any other concerns? If you look on page 3, John, under the restrictions in these communities, sometimes you can have, neighbor after neighbor ready to kill each other if they're over these kind of little petty little issues sometimes. We think are petty, but they don't
right.
think. So I would rather see one vote, one lot. That keeps it pretty fair.
Does the council have any other concerns?
Now, let's see here. The only other issue would be is if somebody owned 3 lots or 2 lots, uh-huh. would they get a vote for each lot? I would say yes. I would think that would be the...
That's sewer. That's how they do it for sewer. Each parcel
gets a vote.
But you only get one vote, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, you're not allowed to vote
right.
multiple times, right? So that's the other issue. I don't know if we're allowed to vote more than once in an election anyway. So I think that's kind of an unwritten law in all voting procedures and all elections. One person can only vote one time, no matter how much you own. So maybe the suggestion, folks, would be one lot, one vote, but only but you can only vote once. I don't know how to word that, Vince, but that's why we pay you to.
Is that the most equitable way? Someone who has invested in the development that may have 3 or 4 lots, it's a good question. Is it something that could be changed at the point of public hearing and all?
Let me ask you this, Vance. Are you familiar with any type of voting procedure where a person has permitted more than one vote? In a town election, other elections, it's just everything I can think of. They've always restricted one person to one vote, no matter what your ownership would be. Like in a town election, obviously.
Street lighting, it's all...
Street lighting is done by improved lots. If you don't have an improved lot, you cannot vote. I believe, and I'll have to clarify with John Ashman, I was talking to him a little earlier about it, but the way he told me for sewer is one vote for every full-time resident over 18, or one vote per property, if not living within the sewer district. That would tell me that if you own more than one property, you do get more than one vote, mm-hmm. if you don't live within the district. Now, I don't know. I'm assuming they would have to do the same thing for people that do live in the district,
too. I think
what
would even be better than Vance is one vote per lot.
I don't work
lot.
With
so
sewer.
If you own more than one lot, have a vote for each lot. I don't really care. I think that's as equitable.
Or per tax parcel.
But I think it would be more fair. If you get your tax bill, whoever pays those taxes has a vote. If he owns 4 lots, he's got 4 votes because he pays on 4 different pieces of property.
That would be by tax parcel.
This nonsense, everybody coming in voting, whether paying tax or not, doesn't go in this situation. I certainly think that anybody that owns one lot certainly has one vote. If he has 10 lots, he still has 10 votes.
Most homeowners associations that I've worked with, that's how they do it, by lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the county bills by tax parcel. Lots can change. Sometimes one tax parcel has 2 or 3 lots in it.
Right.
That way, this part you just said a while ago about undeveloped, if he's paying taxes, developed or not, he has some say in that road because he's paying the tax on that road.
Right.
Or any improvements in there.
Improvements, whatever.
Right, but what she just said.
If it's a tax bill,
Sam.
He should pay.
Sam, there are times where, and one time I owned 2 lots, but it was only one parcel, so I only got 1 tax bill. So you ought to, still what she's saying, one lot, one vote.
Yeah.
Is that
one tax bill.
Well, no, forget tax bill.
No, that's the only way to pay it. It's only fair way. You get a tax bill, then you pay it.
But you don't get a tax bill per lot. You get a tax bill.
You get a
vote,
I mean. You get a vote on a tax bill. You don't pay no taxes. You don't vote.
No, it's
just that fair.
there may be more than one lot on a tax bill, Mr. Wilson. Should that person be able to get more than one vote if they have more than one lot on a single tax bill? Is the question.
Now, that's a good question.
Mr. Vinson, can you answer it for us?
Like, some of the older subdivisions, the lots were too small to actually put a septic system on, so they combine lots. So, like in Lockwood, I've worked with them a couple times, and they, by rule, usually there's like two lots on a parcel there, just so they had the size to get their septic system.
I'll give Sam an example. Sam, where I live, my house sits on two lots. It's one parcel. I get one tax bill. They were non-conforming lots in the old days, and you couldn't get a septic system so they combined to. But nowadays, sewer's going by. I have two lots, one house sitting right on the middle of them all. How many votes should I get, Sam?
Well,
all up to you.
It seems like you still only got one vote, George.
Okay, well?
Because you only really got one parcel because you put your house in the middle of it.
No, it was that way. Okay, I'm just saying I have two lots.
Is it zoned? Are you paying for two lots?
I'm paying for the one parcel, which is two lots. It's the same thing, Sam.
You pay how many tax bills you pay on that lot?
Okay,
on those two lots.
You're putting too much emphasis,
right,
on the tax bill. It's okay.
Miss,
I can see we're getting nowhere. No, that's all right. I'll pass.
I think what
I give,
Mr. Vinson, please.
I just have a
sure.
And not about tax bills or. I know we do it with. Apparently, you do it with sewer now. I just have a little problem with this maximum 100-foot paying for the road. I mean, if I own 10 lots and they're 100 foot apiece, that's 1,000 feet. I only got to pay for 100 feet. Why is that?
No, per lot, that would be.
Yeah.
I think it should be.
Okay, suppose I got a lot that's 300 feet wide.
Then you only pay for 100.
Why?
Not very fair, is it?
Who else pays for it?
I guess.
But so then everybody else there pays more.
Because of you.
Because of me, right?
In the case of sewer, we have limited it to 100 feet or 125 because the thought is you're only going to use X amount of gallons regardless of how much frontage you have. In the case of a road, though, that blacktop is going to be extending the entire length of your frontage. You're probably right.
What happens is you total up the entire frontage in the subdivision, okay? Then you get your costs for construction and county overhead and bond costs and whatnot, and you add it all together, you divide it by the total frontage, and that gives you a per front foot rate. So really, when you do a max and a minimum, you drive the rate up, and it's really spread out more equitably over the lots that exist.
You know what I like, Mike? I like doing it this way. Like she said, you add it all up, you get the average, and then you do unit pricing. There's 100 lots, and you divide whatever the total was into the 100 lots. Everybody pays the same.
I mean, it just seems to me that if
everybody benefits from the road.
If you stop at 100 feet, and I own more than 100 feet, I'm getting
a deal.
A deal.
It still applies, yeah.
Deal.
The way the state law was written, if you had a corner lot, which there are several in some of these subdivisions, you would have the entire frontage and half the side, so they would end up with, you know, a lot more on the old projects than some of your, like, say, 40-foot cul-de-sac frontages.
It's kind of like sewer. You got to have the road to get, you got to have your little piece of road to get to the next piece of road and next piece of road. Same with sewer. So it doesn't matter how long it is. Everybody shares from it. You know, if your house in the back of that thing, you got to go buy everybody else's. Sure. So I just say, I'd rather see us take the total divided by the number of lots, get the, you know, and it just pays. Everybody pays the same.
Usually,
everybody benefits the same.
Usually,
you get in and out of your community.
It just seems to me that someone owns larger lots.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting a better deal than the guy that owns a 100-foot
Most subdivisions are fairly uniform compared to, like, a sewer district where you have some really large parcels out there that wouldn't be equitable.
But what I don't like what we have here. I'd like to see something different. I don't know what.
Would you?
But I don't
so
think
it sounds like you're leaning towards basically to how the current state law is written,
which is
based on the total front footage. So if I have a 500 foot parcel,
mm-hmm.
maybe two or three lots or whatever it is, and I pay on 500 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wilson, do you agree with that?
Still putting some thought. I was thinking, you know, if I'm a a ditch manager. And the funniest thing about ditches is the guy lives closest to the main trunk. He pays less than the guy that dig all this ditch into the back. So it's sort of like getting this guy all in the back out to the main highway. Now, if we put it on that same fence, we have to pay more. But that's not, that certainly wouldn't go fair. So we have to go back and think, well, then again, each house, regardless how big a lot he owns, they're all going to have about the same amount of vehicles. We're going to have two run that road. So then
everybody
again,
shares from the benefits of a roadway.
So we think and go back thinking about maybe what George is offering. Now, maybe it's not as...
Wait, you're... Take the total amount of...
I'm not totally agreeing with you, but I think you're somewhere in the line of direct...
The total amount of a roadbed divided by the number of lots would get... And then everybody pay the same amount, whether you're improved or unimproved, would probably be the fairest, because then everybody's got a stake, equal stake, in that road there. So I don't know.
Let me ask a question of our attorney. Is this an issue that can be resolved following the public hearing, or is this something that is going to have to be increased or decreased depending on the way the title is written and things like that?
Well, I tend to think that since we're talking about two things, how the vote's going to be conducted, which is, you know, that's a pretty important part of the whole thing. Plus, how the assessments are going to occur. I think that really those are substantial enough that we probably ought to have it reworked before it's introduced. And I was looking at it. It's not something that I'm sure I could do on the fly, because it's not as simple as deleting that reference to a 40-foot minimum and 100-foot maximum.
Well, it's obvious there is some concern with the council about the way it's written. We don't like...
Right.
Even Sam, I, all of it seem to have some concerns about the way it's written. So why don't we go back and see if we can, you've heard what everybody said, the staff and whatever, see if we can come up with something that you know, is more equitable than this, and it's clear and it's simpler to, so that the neighbors all aren't, don't have a, you know, we don't pit one against the other somehow.
And it may be worth your trouble to put in a graphic form what the different types of billing and the different types of voting are being used in other forms of our system here, so that we can kind of get a sense of what may be fair. One final thing, unless the...
I have one more. You're saying that a petition signed by more than 50% of the people who own parcels of land in the community can start this process, is what you're saying?
50% of the actual parcels is the way it's written in the new one.
It says parcels.
Tax parcels.
What I'm just, as an example, Lockwood is sort of locked up in there. What's the problem? Is that something that's related to this? What's going on there? There's a standstill there, is what I understand.
Well, they had petitioned us a few years back and was actually defeated at an election. The roads, some of them are, it was built in phases. And some of the older roads are in really bad shape.
Right.
The newer roads are, you know, fairly decent. So that was kind of an issue. But since it's been a few years, some of the older roads or the newer roads have kind of caught up to the older roads. So I think they are actually interested in pursuing this program again and have sent me a request letter.
Okay.
That answered your question.
Well, we just take 50% of the folks that own the parcels in the community, and we're going to include the folks
right.
that don't even live there but just own land.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's improved and unimproved.
A question for Ms. Webb. What is the interest rate we're charging on delinquent taxes?
1.5% a month.
So that's 18%. I see you've got 6% here on delinquent accounts. Is there a reason for the disparity?
That's just from the current state code. Isn't that correct, Patty?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's where it's pulled.
Oh, we should look at that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you've got some things to think about.
Feel free to call me with any questions, and I'll put together what you asked.
Put together, yes, something. And address, again, does this one address improved property versus unimproved property?
It's for all of it.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Okay, I think that's the best way per lot.
Yes.
Okay.
If you could get something in our packet for next week, we won't be putting it on next week's agenda, but at a subsequent meeting, we'll bring it back up and see if we can introduce something.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Uh,
Okay, the next item, I'm sorry, the next item is a request for time extension, and we have Mr. Lank is here. We have a request from for a time extension for a conditional use for three units that were near Rehoboth, and passing out some information, a copy of the request itself. The Planning and Zoning Commission granted 2 1-year time extensions to the applicant, which brought them up to July 29, 2008 to begin the project. On June 24, 2008, the County Council granted a 1-year extension until July 28, 2009. And since then, we've received a request from the applicant for another extension for an additional 5 months until December 29, 2009. The reasons given were that DLDOT approval was not received until November 2007, and that marketing efforts have not been as successful as they had hoped due to the economy. So,
Marketing's not the reason for the extension, because that's not a real good reason. The reason for the extension is?
Well, this was what was in the applicant's letter.
Okay. Lawrence, would you come up and explain anything with how we held them up and stuff?
How we held them up?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, or the state held them up or something. What were the problems other than marketing? Because I don't know if marketing, we want to start using marketing as a hardship.
Well, it sounded like me. Somebody held them up for 17 months because of DLDOT.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'd like to have a...
Well, that's all we need to know. Right here.
Well, there was some action with DLDOT that delayed. I don't have any specifics on that.
Okay.
What I gave to David back on June 1st was a listing of all the dates, chronological, to mm-hmm. show the number of the application, the hearings, the recommendation. There was court action after the application was denied. Chancery Court reversed the decision in July 05, and thereby we established a date that we could use to start the time plus time extensions.
Okay.
And July.
And after that date.
July 29th, 09 is the dead number, unless you grant an extension.
Have they had any extensions so far?
They had extensions, both two extensions from the commission, one from council last year. So this is their fourth extension.
Okay.
So what's the limit?
Well, the limit's two. But due to the circumstances with DLDOT, the council chose to extend last year.
And okay, since last year, has there been any agency holdups? Not just marketing, because I'm not real sure.
They've got their final plan approval. They could commence work any time. They just need more time to be able to get substantially underway. That's the number. You're doing a substantially underway issue. They have to break ground. The building should be under construction. And the commission approved the final site plan on November 29th of 07, so a year and a half ago, basically.
A year and a half ago?
That's when we got the final approval from all agencies.
Okay. So since a year and a half ago, they haven't done anything?
Right. There's been no action on site for any construction.
Is it okay to call the applicant? I see him in the back. I'll ask him a question.
Is there any problem with
calling the applicant?
Calling the applicant out.
Asking a few questions.
If you have any questions.
No, I just would like to ask him any questions.
All right. Any other questions for Lawrence, Mr. Lang?
Just stay close by, maybe.
If not, would the applicant please come forward?
You don't want to get in the marketing. It's not legit.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of council. Maybe, I'm open for your questions.
Maybe your name and address for the record.
My name is James R. Gibson. I go by the name of Bob. I live in Wilmington at 13 Red Oak Road. And we also own this, obviously, piece of property here in Sussex County. And we hope to have a home in Sussex County.
Okay. Mr. Cole?
My question to you, since he said a year and a half ago you got your finals and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Other than marketing, because marketing, in my opinion, isn't a legitimate reason, because everybody is going to have a marketing concern out there, especially with the way the market is.
That's right.
we should take that off the table. tell us why you should you need an extension other than marketing, or at least that's my concern.
I think I sent all of you a letter, and I really wanted to make the point that the Del Dot situation clearly took 17 months out of our timeline. And when we wrote last year in 2008 asking you for an extension, and you were generous enough to give us 12 months, you didn't give us the 17 that we asked for. We were asking to be made whole, basically. We now are in a position where we believe we can go ahead and get started. It's taken some time to get things moving, but we're finally in a position where we think we can get things started. But as Mr. Lank offered to you, we don't think we can show substantial progress by July 29th. So we need a little extra time. We just can't get things
so
moving.
July 29th is the
That's the cutoff.
Deadline.
We're dead in the water. The conditional use is gone. All the other permits are still in effect, but the conditional use would be gone as of July 29th.
All right.
And what you're asking for is 5 months.
Just five
from
months.
That date.
You know, if we can't do it by then, we'll be out of your hair, literally.
So you're asking to go to when? What's the?
Basically, the end of the year, December 29th.
Okay, December 29th.
Right.
Then it would expire then you'd be run out of extension time. You run out of
excuse. We've run out two or three times already.
Yeah, I know. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Any other questions from council, Mr. Robertson?
Vance and Mr. Vincent and Vince.
A lot of V's in here.
The Del Dot issue, was that the issue concerning whether or not there was that roadway around there? So it wasn't just an entrance issue, or?
Oh no. The entrance. Permit was ancillary. We had applied for an entrance permit, and suddenly Del Dot decided it wanted to investigate this question of the right-of-way around the lake. Same issue that Rick Judge faced over on Silver Lake. And that really took longer than 17 months, but I can clearly document 17. It really took about 19.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Gibson.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
So I would suspect that the motion would be to grant a 5-month extension per the applicant's request.
That's correct.
Is there that motion?
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion.
I'll second it.
And I have a second. Is there any discussion, Ms. Deaver?
Well, I'm wondering if we want to add that would be the final extension.
No.
That's what the applicant said, I think.
Yeah. Well, we're not saying that unless we do say it.
Ultimately, it comes down to 3 votes to get something. We could say it, but it still would not preclude a council member from making a motion at a later date to override that aspect of this motion. So you can add that as an amendment to this motion, mm-hmm. and see if there's support for it. Right now, I don't think I see it.
All right. No, just let it go.
Okay. Is there any, if there's no further discussion, we'll call the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.